Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America. It's your boy, Rodby Jones, again from the UK. Good afternoon, UK. If anybody's listening from UK, please do. You really need to start listening to us. You've got so much information, so much knowledge. I'm on both sides of the pond, spreading all the way across America to California. My little boy Vincent Servideo out there. I'm about to bring my boys in. It's Saturday, October the 20th already, if you can believe that. College season's running so fast, almost over to the point where we're heading into the bowl games. NFL season going into week 7. Just moving so fast. The basketball has started. Baseball's coming to an end. Everything going on in the sports world at the moment. I would nothing else to do about that. Just want to really excited to bring my boys in today. From Stamford, Connecticut, the one and only regular chef, Tyrone Powell, TP Timeless. How are you doing this morning, brother?
I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped inside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We are back on the corner, Sports City. It's best to be in the building with my brothers here in Sports City.
I don't know if we got Vinny yet. Have we got Vinny yet, Ty?
I'm here.
On the West Coast, as I mentioned, my other brother, Vincent Servideo. Vinny, how are you doing this morning, bro?
I'm doing great. I took off the blazer and I loosened the tie up a little bit.
I'm gonna keep my tie on for today just in case, you know. I might need to tighten the knot a bit to get the strangle feel. Speaking about strangling, I want to clear something up. Vinny mentioned on the show on Wednesday, and it was the nickname thing. You know, it started getting me thinking. We you know Vinny's nickname's under construction. I think at the moment, I know TP's now rattling his brain about something. But I was referred to as the Red Dragon at some point. I don't know if I was true. Not the Hannibal Lecter Red Dragon, by the way, people. Just to make it clear, I'm not a serial killer. It's the Welsh Dragon. You look at the Welsh flag. The emblem is a red dragon. Okay, so just want to clear that up for everybody. But no, we have some fun here in the kitchen, and great to be back with you guys this morning. Glad you're feeling well.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Maid? With Vince Vaughn?
Oh, no. Okay.
It's a funny movie, and there's a guy from England. They call him the Red Dragon. But,
oh, wow.
But I want to be like Ty. I feel like Ty is so cool. He's so smooth with the Timeless nickname and his lingo. I try and replicate that, but it's almost impossible to do something like that.
He's a whole other character, isn't he? He's a film star without actually having starred in a film. He's like some kind of, I don't know what the word is. I'd say legend, obviously a legend, but.
I'm the kind of guy who walks around, he's got his own theme music.
You got somebody behind him with a ghetto blaster. When he enters a bar, everybody stands up. I've been there with him. I know what it's like.
They're beating me up, poor city. Do you understand that the two of these guys are beating me up? With both of them. I'm getting it from the West Coast. I'm getting it from the UK. What did I do? All I did was try to be a superhero and get the keys to the kitchen and make sure that these people eat good food or food for thought, that is. And then I get beat up. They take my slogan. They start beating up on my slogan. People closing out how I close out. They told them they want to be smooth and timeless. And all. Listen, I had to work for this, you know. Like I put in years for this. Like y'all got to go through the mountains. Got to go through this stuff now.
Exactly. Nicknames are not given; they're earned, right? And you know, you don't get better ones than timeless. Anyway, okay, guys, I'm gonna get straight into the football. Let's get into the games and the game. Just getting to sports. And the game on Thursday night, the NFL on Thursday night. And just, I know we was, like me and you, Vin, we went with the Cardinals. So he was wise enough to go with the Broncos. Give you props for that, bro. And, you know, Von Miller, at the moment, he's playing something special, coming off our edge. And with him and Khalil Mack in the game at the moment, guys, I just think it's such a high standard for defense. And just incredible, really. But I felt so bad for the Arizona Cardinals. You know, Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator, got fired after the game. I just want to know your thoughts on the game first off. And do you think Steve Wilkes, defensive coordinator for Carolina last year, come in as head coach in his first season? How many games do you think he's going to last? Or do you think they're going to give him the season and give him further time ahead? And just your thoughts on the game. Timeless, I'll go back to you, bro. And just your thoughts on that.
Well, see, this is why I take off the blazer and loosen up the tie, because I got to show you guys how to be a superhero in Sports City. Because both of them went with the Cardinals, and how crazy that game looked, I thought it'd be a decent game. I didn't think it'd be this bad of a butchering. Now, speaking of the coaching situation, with him being in the NFC West, I don't think it gets better this season. With them playing Seattle, San Francisco played an inspired game up against Green Bay, so I don't know if they carry that on with them. And, of course, the way that the Rams are playing, I mean, they're going to get beaten a lot. So with McCoy getting fired for his second straight season, he got fired last year and he got fired this season, says a lot about him offensively. And supposedly, quote-unquote, supposed to be the offensive-minded guy. It didn't work out in two consecutive seasons. Now they're moving Byron Leftwich to offensive coordinator. This should be interesting to see what Byron has, because I've followed Byron ever since he was, you know, playing ball with Marshall. But I don't know. I think this is going to be a bad situation. This head coach could potentially be on the hot seat if he doesn't at least probably get another two or three wins. The reason why I say this is this Arizona Cardinal organization made the Super Bowl 8 years ago. And there is one guy on this roster that was on that roster at that time that is supposedly retiring either this year or next year, more than likely this year. And this isn't a farewell season at all for Larry Fitzgerald. I'm not a Cardinal fan by any means. I followed Larry ever since he was in Pittsburgh, and I love every last bit of what he brings to the game. But for him to potentially lead the game with, at best, a three-win season. I don't even know if they'll get two wins out of this season the way that they look, especially with guys like, David Johnson in the backfield. They have players that make plays, but Josh Rosen doesn't look confident. He threw pick sixes all across the field. It looked terrible. They're already talking about starting him next week, and he has a toe injury because Bradford can't get back. They have too many issues there, and they're not fixing them at all. Arizona is in an uphill battle. And I think this could get worse, and their coach could potentially see the hot seat.
Yeah, and shocking, you know, calling a timeout on the second play into the game, and the offensive line just being so banged up. And I think had I known that going into the game, pick might be different, but not making any excuses. You know, I agree with you on Larry Fitzgerald. Sad that they can't even get him the ball. You know, it doesn't even look like he's becoming close to getting receptions. It's just a mess. Ben, any thoughts on this, bro?
Yeah, no, it is not. It's ugly out there. I feel bad for David Johnson. To be honest, I mean, I think that he's one of the probably most talented players, skill position players in the entire league, and he was not utilized properly. They just aren't getting, the maximum production out of him that they should. So it's just like that's a coach's job. They got to put players in the right position to perform, and they're just not doing it. I understand there's injuries, and it's this type of thing happens in the league. There's always going to be a few teams that aren't there, that are just the garbage of the league for a little bit, for a year. Arizona is one of those teams this year, and it's it is what it is. They're not gonna be winning too many games. I agree with Ty. They're give them two, maybe three wins tops, and we'll see. Hopefully, they don't lose more than the Giants. So the Giants hold on to the number one pick next year. It'll be that'll be a little fun race to watch for us bottom feeders. I'm not a big fan. Good for Denver. Denver isn't horrible. They're a good team. They got a decent defense. Offensively, they're hot and cold, but I would like to see them get more of a running game. I know Lindsay's okay, but two very somewhat below average, way below average teams. Ugly Thursday night game, to be honest. I mean, we'll talk about it. We'll definitely talk about all this stuff, but it's like almost like, oh, who cares kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I was in two minds about bringing it up like that, you know. But, you know, good to see, like, Brandon Chubb. I know Brandon Chubb had 3 sacks last week, another one on Thursday. Von Miller just being so dominant. Go back to you, Vinny, on this. I wonder, you know, who do you think is the best pass rusher? I know it's impossible really to tell, but if you were starting the franchise and you had to pick one, would you pick Khalil Mack or would you pick Von Miller? I mean, it's Ossis for course, I suppose, but, I mean, which one would you pick?
I would probably pick Khalil Mack right now.
Yeah.
Because he's fresh on my mind, and he changed teams. He made such a difference for Chicago. He's in the backfield all the time. Or, you know what, Darnold's from L.A. Rams.
Hey, that's another.
He's in the backfield pretty often as well. There's a lot. There's some pretty good pass rushers in the league. There really are. Not that many that are elite. That's why when you get them, Oakland, Khalil Mack, hold on to them. Just playing away for whatever reason they did that for, but I would say it's Khalil Mack to answer the question.
Hey, good man, I'm gonna add Myles Garrett into that conversation as well, just being so dominant in Cleveland and getting the wins for them. I thought, Ty, your thoughts? Who would you pick, bro? And you know, you're picking a one defensive superstar to start a franchise. Who do you think you'd go after?
This is a very difficult question because if you pick them at the beginning of their career, then you would go with Von Miller because Von Miller is the one that actually helped get to a Super Bowl. I want to say led them to the Super Bowl because it wasn't Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning only had 140-some yards passing and his passing was looking crazy as it is. As of right now, it'd probably be either Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa if he's healthy or Aaron Donald. Or J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is another guy that a lot of people miss because of how much attention he gets to detail with offensive lines, making sure he doesn't get free or see one-on-one coverage up front because if he's getting one-on-one, he's beating any tackle or any guard that's trying to block him. So it's difficult for me. If I really had to choose one, and I'm going to do from the start of their careers, I'll go with J.J. Watt because it's just unfortunate he's in Houston. If he was on another team that had an offense that could put up points, then it'd be interesting. But right now, I mean, Houston is waiting for this team to come together as a full unit. I mean, they're working on the offense. Deshaun Watson in his second year coming back from an injury, and DeAndre Hopkins and that offense trying to put together an interesting unit. But J.J. Watt would be the name that I go with. He's unblockable.
Yeah, that's a good call. I remember at the start of Hard Knocks, I think he was – pretty much where Khalil Mack is now, you know, with regards to popularity throughout the league, with teams and with fans and with media and everything. And yeah, definitely a good shout there. And you know, even Jadeveon Clowney on the same team, still being so dominant. You know, in that 5 technique and the 3-4 that he played in for so long, to get the amount of sacks that he had, incredible, just absolutely incredible. Will go down for me as one of the best defensive players of all time. When all is said and done with him, and I honestly hope and truly hope that the best is yet to come for him, because you know the injuries he's had has just been so just disheartening. We've talked about this before, Ty, you know, and you know you want to see the best players play every week, I think, and you know when injury comes, it's frustrating, so frustrating to see, but you know part and parcel of the game. But goes to talk about the level of talent that's in the NFL right now. I think, like you mentioned, Vin, so many good pass rushers in the league and defensive players that can take on 2 guards and take on 2 offensive linemen and still get to the quarterback. It's just so impressive. But moving right along, guys, I'm going to move on quickly. We're going to Jacksonville. Really struggling in Jacksonville right now. They just made a trade with the Cleveland Browns for Carlos Hyde, taking Carlos Hyde from Ohio, where he played college ball at Ohio State, taking it from Cleveland to Jacksonville. Some obvious questions going on with Leonard Fournette and his hamstring. I know all the coaches have been, you know, arguing amongst each other all week. Is he fit to play? Is he not fit to play? What? I think a lot of frustration building there also with the results. They get a 5th-round pick. I know. Cleveland wanted a receiver, but Jacksonville is too thin at receiver right now to give him one. So, but what do you think, Carlos Hyde in Cleveland? Nick Chubb time in Cleveland, maybe Carlos Hyde to Jacksonville with Yeldon and Fournette when he comes back. Thoughts on this, Vin? Go to you first. Thoughts on the trade? Where do you see Jacksonville going from here?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when I've heard of this trade go down is Fournette's injury is a little bit worse than people know. That Jacksonville knows something about what's going on with Fournette. They are not sure when he's going to be back. So they want to solidify their playoff run and make sure they have a running game. And they went after another running back. That's number one. I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I really do, because I really think Fournette's a great talent, and I would hate to see an injury derail his season. But we wonder sometimes when you have a trade like this, when you have two running backs already on your team, and one of them's a superstar, you wonder how significant the injury is. And we really don't know. The Jaguars know better than us. Two, it's Chubb time in Cleveland, and this is exciting because he's been pretty good when he's got the ball and when I'm on the ball, he's actually producing. He's doing all right. I'd like to see him learn how to catch the ball a little more. I think that will come. I think that's something you really can learn. He seems like he's there kind of, and it's exciting to see the Browns get their younger players involved. I want to see what Chubb can do with Mayfield and the rest of the young Cleveland offense, the new Cleveland offense is actually doing okay. They're actually not a bad offense this year. So I'm interested to see how Chubb can produce, and I want to see how significant Fournette's injury is. That's what I think of this. This type of trade. And I want to see more trades go down, too. I mean, I think that the NFL, they don't do enough of it. I know there's certain players that have, certain teams that have, like, glaring holes, and certain players that you look at that don't like where they are, where they're at. And sometimes it makes sense. They're like, why doesn't this team trade for this guy? And I know there's a lot more to it than that, but I'm sure there'll be a few more trades coming down before. I think the deadline's the 31st, or about Halloween. Bad for this trade, good for the Jaguars and for the Browns. They're letting their young guy. They're giving them the
reign
here.
Yeah, great. And you know, yeah, like I said, I'm at end of October, October 30th, the trade deadline. We're gonna see a few more before then, I'm sure. Ty, thoughts on this trade, bro, and just you know your thoughts on Jacksonville going forward.
Well. Here goes the Cleveland Browns up to the bull crap again.
Yeah.
I understand Nick Chubb is a talent and young, and they want to see him produce. But Carlos Hyde has already been to the NFL, been through a couple of seasons, just got away from being with San Francisco, coming back to Ohio where it all started for him, being an Ohio State Buckeye. So you know he already has the fan base there, so it's going to be support for him. And you get rid of him while he helped you win at least one of those games, especially that game up against the Jets. You get rid of him and put him in Jacksonville where they have a stable. So when Fournette gets healthy, right, healthy, they already got T.J. Yeldon. They're going to get Jamal Charles in the shape, and now they got Carlos Hyde. They got a stable of running backs down there. Everybody that they put in there behind Blake Bortles, all they're going to wait for Blake Bortles to do is just to produce. Forget this game managing, because, of course, that's what he's doing right now. If Bortles can actually come into a game and throw more than 225 yards passing, Jacksonville might end up being unbeatable with two home run hitters in T.J. Yeldon and Jamal Charles. And then you got guys that can actually be bell cows and Fournette once he's healthy, and now you got Carlos Hyde too. I question what Cleveland is up to, and of course, with me saying this, they might produce more wins, and I'm already at the line where I said they will win two wins on the season. Of course, they might end up winning more games, but this is crazy that you get rid of a running back that has been productive for you and help probably condition these guys and Nick Chubb and Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson, and I'm a diehard Hurricane fan, Duke Johnson has not produced. He has not produced being a part of that offense in Cleveland. And Nick Chubb is going to be the guy carrying this load, if you will. And he's only been in the league for a short amount of time. So it's questionable that they're still trying to build this from the ground up, if you will.
Yeah, like you said, but I'd be honest with you, right? I'm a massive Nick Chubb fan. I don't think there was much between him and Saquon Barkley coming in draft day. I know he was a second-round pick. But if he wasn't in our backfield with Sony Michel at Georgia, we saw him and Sony Michel just tear it up week in, week out when Georgia played. And I thought, wow, this is a special looking running back, and he was just so powerful. And it's like, I honestly think.
No, I didn't mean to cut you, but I was gonna say, yeah, but think about this. Nick Chubb is the running back from Georgia that had to bring himself back from a significant knee injury. What if that happens again?
Oh, wow, yeah. I mean, but every running back has that fear, though, right? It's like, and look at the running backs outside the knee injuries that's happening. I know what you're saying. It's a huge injury to come back from as well. But I think this is where Cleveland – I think this is going to answer your question as well. This is where Cleveland are quite smart in what they've done with John Dorsey. I mean, they've given him an extra 7 weeks now, so he's really coming in quite kind of fresh, right? Because he's, you know, we've seen Duke Johnson and we've seen, you know, Carlos Hyde sort of take the bulk of the carries till this point. I think week seven, week eight, maybe next week we see Nick Chubb giving the load. He's not going to hit that rookie wall because he's not going to have the 10 game season. He's going to go through. He's going to have that. You know, if they get the playoffs, which is very questionable. I don't know if they. No, you said two wins. I was more like 6 or 7. I don't know, but we see how that goes. But it's like, I like what John Dorsey has done with him. Then, you know, he's given him time to heal, time to show that he's healed, and I think he has. He's definitely done that. He's had over 100 yards, you know, in less than 20 carries, 160 odd yards in less than 20 carries. We saw a long run the other week, so I think he's ready to go in. I mean, I honestly do. And we'll see how it goes, bro. You know, I don't know for definite. No, nobody does. None of us do. And it's going to be interesting to see. But I think he's ready to go. And yeah, we'll see. Definitely see. I think it's going to be a good big weekend this weekend. To see how they start rolling. But like you said, and I agree with you on Blake Bortles. The point, the Bortles experiment. I don't know how long it's going for. And it which brings me to my next topic. Which one of these is most on the hot seat? I think we there's a few people in the NFL that are not going to be in their positions much longer, right? So like going into this week 7 this week, I want to know which one of these you guys think are most likely to lose their job in the next, if not this week, then maybe next week. I'm going to start with Eli Manning. Sorry, Vin, I know you're a Giants fan. Eli Manning, and I love Eli Manning, so it pains me to say this. Eli Manning in New York. Amari Cooper in Oakland. Now, Amari Cooper hasn't fit into to John Gruden's system at all. Gruden was bigging him up preseason, saying that he's gonna do so well for him. The frustration is pretty obvious there. And, you know, with the trade deadline coming up, I think Amari Cooper could be shipped out of Oakland, guys. I think there's a definite chance of that happening. I'm wondering if you think Eli Manning, Amari Cooper getting traded, or the Blake Bortles experiment. Which one of those three do you see ending first, guys? Blake Bortles, Amari Cooper, or Eli Manning, which one going? All of them are presumably on the hot seat. I'm getting inside info and some good sources saying that they're all in jeopardy of losing position. So I just know that there is some gravity behind this. But just your thoughts on this. Which one is most on the hot seat? Vin, start with you, bro.
Vinny, are you still here, Vinny?
He must have gone for a walk on a beach there. Oh, there he is. Yeah, did you hear the question, Ben, or do you want me to repeat it?
No, I heard the question. I was saying Eli. I was saying I want to say Eli Manning. I do, but they have nowhere to turn to. I don't know what the Giants would do. I mean, unless they get somebody via trade, what I see the Giants doing is losing a lot of games and picking a high draft pick, picking a quarterback this year. I think Amari Cooper, he's such a talented guy. I would like to see him get traded. I would like to see Amari Cooper get traded to a team that can actually use him and utilize him, get him in the right position to actually produce and be the star that he is. I don't know. It's like everybody keeps waiting for Amari Cooper to be a star, and he just – just won't. I don't know what. Blake Bortles, I think the Jags are kind of stuck with him now. It's just been to turn the page and go to a new quarterback this far along the. So there's like a little. Every team has a window where you can see a championship or see something great. And like Right now, we're in the middle of Jacksonville's window. You got the great defense. You got the running game that's actually solidified. They have okay receivers. I mean, the D.D. Westbrook and Cole. They're not great. Maybe Amari Cooper helps them, but that's not a point. So you're not going to just flip to another quarterback at this point. You're going to trade for one. Maybe in the off season you sign somebody or make a trade. I don't know, but for this season, I think the Jaguars are stuck with Bortles. I think the Giants are stuck with Eli too, because as much as I would like to see a change over there, it's not going to happen. They're going to lose. The Giants are going to lose a lot of games this year. They're going to pick the quarterback high in the first round next year. Amari Cooper actually answered your question, Rod. I think he's the first person out, because he does have value, and teams do need him. Off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of certain teams that could actually use him to help their cause. I mean, there's a...
Here's a crazy thought on that one, Vin. It just entered my mind now 2 seconds ago when you mentioned it. And tell you what you think. Can you imagine him in Atlanta with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley? It would be just like Alabama all over again offensively. Three of those. And you know they're not stopping anybody, so they might as well. It'd just be dangerous.
No, that's a hell of a receiving core. I'm sure Matt Ryan's not going to say no to that one.
No doubt about it. No, definitely not. I don't know. I wouldn't. Tell your thoughts, bro.
This would actually be a no-brainer. It's going to be Eli Manning, because in 3 months, not even 2 months and 14 days, Eli will be 38 years old. So the Giants have to move on from him. Amari Cooper, and I'm going to say this. As bad as Oakland is talking this up, Amari Cooper, he's going to trade talk. Where the heck do they go if they get rid of Amari Cooper? They got Jordy Nelson there, and Jordy Nelson probably has 3 to 4 years of production left. And I don't even know if Jordy's happy being in Oakland. I know he would have loved to retire as a Green Bay Packer, and, of course, you can see the frustration with Aaron Rodgers watching Jordy go. So you could tell he's not content being there. The Derek Carr situation is extremely questionable. So this can't be put all on the shoulders of Amari Cooper. You get rid of Amari Cooper, you got a bunch of no-name receivers again, and you're back on the rebuild, and then you start thinking about the Gruden experience. So it has to be away from Amari Cooper, and, of course, he's been productive before Gruden got there. Now he's the problem. Khalil Mack is the problem. You get rid of all of the guys that have been the big pieces of the puzzle. Blake Bortles has to be there until they get a big-name quarterback down there. I don't think they get rid of Blake Bortles by any means, unless somebody of a big name, if Eli does end up leaving New York and going to Jacksonville and turning that thing around with Coughlin down there, that'd be interesting. And Nick Foles, as much as I would want to see him go somewhere else and be productive, he has to stay in Philadelphia just in case something happens to Carson Wentz, because he just tore a ligament. Carson Wentz didn't just have a sprain or, you know, something that he could bounce back from in a week or two. He was out for the remainder of the season and has a big knee brace on his leg now to make sure that everything's okay. So Nick Foles has to remain in Philadelphia. So by all means, I think this has to be in front of Eli Manning. As much as I want to see Eli retire as a Giant and don't want to put all of this on Eli's shoulders, if he can't make a pass downfield longer than 25 yards and Odell speaking up about it, if there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, definitely. It usually is. And one thing I was watching, guys, watching like the game highlights from last week, and you know, there's a bit of a camera on the sideline so you can sort of hear what's going on. And Odell Beckham was just like looking at a camera, right, on the sideline, shouting into the camera, "I don't care about the media. It's not about the media. This is real life for me. This is real life for me." And I thought that was like such a like bit of an oxymoron, because he's like shouting into the camera that this is real life for you, yet using the media to get that point across. So, it just baffles me. Just absolutely baffles me what's going on with him. I don't know. It's just so easy on the outside looking in. But when frustration boils over, it's plain and simple to see. And that's exactly what's going on in New York. That's exactly what's going on in Oakland. Just imagine being a fan of the Raiders right now. You know, you're in Oakland. And I was there, right, guys, a couple of years ago on Christmas Eve. Playing the Chargers, Charles Woodson's last game, right? And it was just amazing atmosphere. The black hole, I was in the middle of the black hole, and the guys were like with the big shoulder pads, and they were all dressed up, and they had their little babies with them. You know, there was sort of like a Christmas atmosphere where the hot chocolate was being passed around, and it was good feeling, you know. People was coming up to us and talking to us, and it was amazing. It was just really cool, really cool atmosphere. And I asked the guy there, and I said, you know, how would you feel about, you know, the chances of Oakland leaving City and going elsewhere? You know, I didn't even know that Las Vegas was an option at that point. And they were like, no, there's no chance that, you know, the city would allow it to happen. The mayor wouldn't allow it to happen. And it was getting really deep, you know, with government stuff. And I was like, man, I said, these guys are they're billionaire businessmen. They don't care about none of that. And they really don't, you know. They really don't care about the people there neither. It's just, I'm just so frustrated to see. And, you know, Gruden's on a 10-year contract. A 10-year contract in Oakland, and it's 10 years. And there's nothing you can do about that. He's there. They love him. I mean, the Davises love him. They always have. The falling out was with Al. The falling out wasn't with Mark. It wasn't with the brothers. It was just Al. And it was a bump in the mind. It was like that. Who runs this team type of thing? Who's the GM and the head coach? And who's taking us to these championships? Kind of like Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson back in the day. It was that type of deal. And now we're seeing, you know, that he's back, and they want to rebuild. But together, it's going to be brutal. It's going to be ugly. And, you know, last week in London, it was just dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. Everybody I know who went there was like, that was just terrible. It was like, that was NFL football? I was like, that's what it was. And it was like, he was, you know, just shocked to see how bad the Oakland Raiders actually was. And, you know, just sad to see it, guys. I wonder what you think it is, you know, as NFL people, right? You two, and you're out there, you live amongst this in your blood, right? Your thoughts on the Oakland Raiders, just the business side of it, seeing them leave the city like they're leaving it, and like the Rams have in St. Louis then, you know, it's just they've left the community behind. And, you know, your thoughts on that, just, do you think it's a bad thing? Do you think it's like, it's getting overlooked too much because of money? Or do you think, you know, you're happy with it going to Vegas, you're happy with the new stadiums, the big prices, and, you know, the hoopla that comes with all that? You know, we all are. We there's a bit of that. We all love that. But, you know, where does tradition stand, guys? Just your thoughts. Vince, start with you, bro, out there on the West Coast.
First off, I don't think John Gruden is going to last 10 years. I mean, he's going to get paid for it because he signed the contract. But I don't know that he's going to be there for the duration of that contract. I mean, that's the question that I think that we should answer is, will John Gruden last 10 years? I don't know. That's going to be tough. It'll be tough to see him last that long. I don't know how I feel about him. He's been out of the game so long, and he just comes back in, and I definitely saw struggles. A lot of people did, and it's correctly so, obviously. But I don't see him lasting the entire duration of the career. It's sad. I mean, it's always sad when a team leaves a city, because the fans get really, really behind the team. And I think of the super. I think of Seattle losing the Supersonics. So that's fresh in my mind with the death of Paul Allen. Rest in peace. What a great man. He built that hope.
Yeah.
The city over there did a lot of great things, and the city just rallies behind the teams. I mean, you see the way over the Seahawks. And I would like to see Seattle come another basketball team, but that's a different story. As far as Oakland leaving, I mean, I we talked about this already. They left LA and that kind of stunk, and then now they're to Oakland, and they leave here. And you had St. Louis lose the Rams to LA, and teams they bolt for the money. They don't really, they're not thinking of the fans. I mean, okay, they're thinking of the fans a little bit. But it's not a deal breaker for most of these teams. It really isn't. It's sad to say that the bottom line it just boils down to money all the time. I personally, and I think you guys agree, when I think of that, what I just said, it doesn't make sense to me, because I think a lot of these owners, and they're billionaires. They're extremely wealthy, successful. They have it all. I mean, in terms of fiscally, with money, and to constantly try and make more. It's just at whose expense? I mean, you're making, like, there's enough. Sure, there's enough for everybody. There's enough to go around. That you could say that, but at some point you're stepping on people, you're hurting people when you're focused so much on making your product better, making more money, expanding to Canada, to England. I'm sorry, Roger. China, wherever you want to go with your league, it's gonna make you a little bit more money. It'll be more fans and all that, but it's affecting somebody, and it's hurting some of those local fans that have been loyal for so long. I know the Raider fans up here where I am, they're crazy about their team, man. They love their team, and it sucks to imagine just losing that. I think of so right now the Warriors are a big deal around here, the Golden State Warriors. And everybody has the Warriors jerseys, and they're winning championships, and they're the star power and all that. I can't even imagine if the Warriors are moving to Las Vegas, so they get announced, something like that gets announced. I mean, it's not going to happen. This is total BS talk, but it's in the same realm of what we're talking about, what you're suggesting about teams leaving, because I think of all these fans that they're left with what? They're left with nothing. It's almost like, ugh, like the wind is out of your sail. You get the wind knocked out of you, and then you try and rebuild it somewhere else. And I mean, it takes some time, and you can have some success with it, sure. But I don't like it. I don't like the constant moving. But I guess at the end of the day, it is a business, and the bottom line is the bottom line is how much more money can you make, and that's. It's so crazy if that's what everything comes down to, but it does, right? I mean, that's the capital society that we live in, and it's in sports, it's in entertainment, it's everywhere, and it's I don't want to say it's a bad thing. I'm all about trying to get that money too, and work for whatever I have. To an extent, though, it's just like I don't like to see fans get stepped on. So teams can make a few extra dollars. That's how I feel about that.
I like that, but it's like, yeah, like you said, there's a reason Conor McGregor was in Dallas watching the Cowboys last week under that big screen. It's like, where's that next payday coming from? But Ty, one thing what was appreciated about you, Ty, is being a Detroit Lions fan living in Connecticut, the loyalty you have for those guys. And I mean, I know how devastated you'd be if they ever move town. I'm sure I would, living in Wales. Just your thought on the fan loyalty thing and your thoughts on the Raiders and what I said.
I'm already in the list of that. and I'm about to probably go through it again with the Seattle Supersonics leaving Seattle and going to Oklahoma City. And I love basketball so much that I couldn't just give up basketball and not have a team. So I went with the team, and then me, especially with the day of technology and social media, so me being a part of the Sonics groups and things of that nature, they like, oh, well, you went with the Thunder, you're a traitor, and so on and so forth. I'm like, what was I supposed to do? Like, am I supposed to just not have a team? Like, I'm going to follow the organization, the whole organization, from top to bottom, even though I don't like the move. I was a diehard Sonics fan, but I'm a diehard Thunder fan, but now the NBA and across the globe are talking about getting the Sonics back in Seattle. And it's like, if they go back to Seattle, I'm going to mess around and be the guy that I've always poo-pooed on having two teams. And I'm going to end up having two teams, liking the Thunder and liking the Sonics, because that's where it originally started. So the one thing that I look at with the Raiders, and Sports City, forgive me on where I'm about to go with this, so don't get mad, but I really think that they're using the face of Chucky, a.k.a. John Gruden, to sell. Not even just like to just sell tickets, but like to get people to come to Vegas. And last year, okay, because as Roger knows, I had a friend out there in Vegas named Mark, and he has a very nice spot out there in Vegas. And before, where he lived at, it was nothing but like desert, red dirt land. Now, last year when I went to his house, you have to see how many houses, condominiums, and high-rises they're trying to make, because they know that the Raiders are coming. They already put the Las Vegas Golden Knights there for NHL. They're trying to build to bring people there just because of the fan aura. and knowing that it's going to be another attraction to the city of Vegas, let alone everything that's already in Vegas. You now have the Raiders that probably have top three biggest following in NFL, probably the Steelers, the Raiders, and insert somebody else, probably the Patriots or the Cowboys. I'll just say top five. Let me just say top five just to save face for that. And you bring them to Vegas. One, you already have the aura of the black hole and every Raider fan and Raider Nation and commitment to excellence following them. But two, all of the people that come to Vegas just to have fun and something else for them to go see, that's where the $100 million is going to be. And just to see John Gruden be as inspired as ever and throw his fist in the air and just, you know, try to be, you know, invigorating and revitalizing to the situation. I'm not buying it. I understand where they're trying to go with it, but outside of that Super Bowl run that John Gruden has made while he was with Tampa Bay and that one Tuck Rule season with the Raiders, he has been extremely questionable at the coaching position. Extremely questionable. So I don't know. I know I'd be shattered if that did happen to the Lions, and wondering where they would go unless they came to Connecticut. Then I'd jump out of the window. No open. I'd just jump straight through the glass. But other than that, man, I don't know what to do. I went with the organization. Like I wouldn't just sit there and just be on my hands. And I understand the people of Washington and people that grew up in Seattle and were born there and raised into the Seattle Sonic, you know, aura and just watching the team be ripped from them. I don't respect Clay Bennett for moving them, but he said that they weren't getting money, like having people fill Key Arena and things of that nature. So I understand the business aspect of it. If they're not coming to support the team, then he has to do what he has to do. But don't get mad if he's warning you and then he ends up pulling the trigger and getting more support in Oklahoma City and they're filling the arena in Chesapeake Energy Arena. So I understand both aspects, but me being the fan, it hurts.
That's a good point. And I just can't even fathom Detroit leaving Michigan. I mean, even though all the problems that city has had economically, you know, the collapse of Ford and everything, you know, just the thought of them leaving that place now would just completely ruin that place for me. I mean, that would be Gotham City then. Detroit would become, you know, literally Gotham City because it's Americana. Part Americana is Hockey Town, right? So you've got the Hockey, the Red Wings, Joe Louis. It's like, wow, it's just like the heart of America for me, like Detroit in so many ways. Anyway, that just made me sad just to think that just 2 minutes ago. I know Tyree had some good times there. But like you said, you know, it's the vacation thing in Vegas. How many fans are they going to bring to the NFL? I know so many people in Europe vacation in Las Vegas every year just to have that extra attraction of an NFL football game to go to. And that's how a lot of people sort of get into it, you know, and get up. So that's definitely a good point there. And interesting. Yeah, sad about Paul Allen, guys, Microsoft, Paul Allen. He pretty much kept the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle way back when. So rest in peace to him. Our heartfelt condolences from Sports City Chefs there. Moving on to the next point, guys. This is a bit of fun, right? I think you're going to enjoy this. So I want quarterback. I want a quarterback, a running back, a wide receiver, an offensive line, right, a defense, and go one by one, and then a head coach at the end. I'm going to go one by one, start one each from all of us. If we were going to start a franchise, right, today. Now, Vinny, you're out there just around Santa Cruz area, I'm thinking, somewhere around there. I try up there, Stamford, Connecticut. And me here in Tredegar, South Wales, in the old West Coal Mining Valley. Where we're starting our franchises, and we all got to pick a quarterback. I'm going to do a draft form. So, Ty, you can have the first pick, right, bro? I'm going to go quarterback with you now. You can pick any of them, right? And you got to, like, think 10 years, right? Think 10 years. So, you go with your quarterback, bro. Who are you going to take? You got the whole league. I'm going to give you a little bit of time on this, but it's like, just to talk over a little bit.
Vinny, are you still there?
I think he asked you.
Okay. Oh, so quarterback first?
Quarterback first. I think in like 10 years, right? So you got to think future as well as today. And I'm thinking.
Oh, Well, okay, so are we talking about how they are now or at the beginning of their careers?
I'd say how they are right now. And, nothing okay. promising about coming into the NFL. You look at backups, but I'm thinking, like, think today. Think of how they are now in the season. And we just whittle through this quick. It's like just play as you like.
No, I got it. No, you don't have to explain it all to me. So quarterback, I would go with right now, and it hurts me because he's within my division, and I see him two times a year. But I'd have to go with Aaron Rodgers. I'd have to, without a doubt, quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Vin, quarterback.
Right now, if I were to take a quarterback for the next 10 years, I would draft. Out of anybody in the league, give me a second here. Let me just think.
I'd say like 10 years. I mean, like just if you're starting a franchise, you know you want to think of the future as well as right now. I'd say Rodgers is a decent pick that he might have like 5 years, maybe more, 4 years. Who knows?
I'll take Pat Mahomes.
That's a good pick. But mm. I don't want to play this anymore. No, I'm joking. That's actually a nice pick. I'm gonna take Sam Darnold, guys. He's done enough for me. I liked him so much coming in. I think he's done amazing with the Jets early on. I think he's got everything you want. And Sam Darnold for me. Kick back off with running backs.
Yeah, when you're doing this, when you're picking like this, you really gotta. I really took age into consideration, and I'd want somebody who's gonna be there for a decade. And Aaron Rodgers is probably the best.
Precious,
I know the Brees and Brady and all those guys, but
we'll just do quarterback, running back, and wide receiver, right, guys? I don't think we're gonna go into too much depth. We could be here a week, but we'll just do quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Go back across for running backs. I'm gonna take the obvious, Saquon Barkley. For me, I think he showed the other night. He's got it all. I think he's a new breed. Just the leg strength, just a different the balance of his running, the power. I think he punishes the defender more on contact. That's something I've never seen, but just so impressed with him last Thursday night. And where are we? Ty, you went first. Vin, back on you.
For running back.
For running backs. And I know it's like.
So I can't take Saquon because you did?
Yeah, so you got to pick like an up and coming running back that you might like or somebody that.
So if I'm going to pick a running back and I can't take Saquon, I would probably take Saquon one, but if I can't take Saquon, I'm going to take Kamara. I'm sorry, Todd Gurley, but Kamara is an absolute beast and he dominates. I know that he's got Ingram there too now, so he's going to be splitting time, but it doesn't even matter. When Ingram was suspended, did you see the numbers this guy was putting up? He catches the ball. I mean, Gurley too, though, is another one. I know Ty's going to say Gurley next. He has to. You don't have to, Ty, but I think he will. Yeah, but I'll take Kamara. I think Kamara is an absolute beast. There's a lot of good running backs, though. The running back position, this is what I was talking about, is just that you can – find these athletes with receivers and running backs. They're not as part of the line. Did you guys lose me again?
No, you're fine.
Yeah, you. Sorry, bro. It must have been my connection. Go ahead.
Oh, the running backs, the skill position players, they're not as difficult to find as a pass rusher or a really, really, really high-end quarterback. So, but the Saquons and the Kamaras, Gurleys. But we're playing the game. So the game, I'll take Kamara as my pick.
That's cool. Ty?
Vinny, you don't have to speak to me. Just pick your pick and just keep moving, okay? I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott, and here's why. Ezekiel Elliott is carrying this Cowboy team while Dak is struggling. And Dez is gone, and Jason Witten is gone. If it wasn't for Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys would probably be winless right now. I'll go with Ezekiel Elliott as long as he gets holes up front with the offensive line. He's already had an 1,800-yard season as a rookie. I think Gurley is a running back by the system. I think if Gurley went to another system, it'd probably be tough for him, even though he's a good running back. But I'm going to go with Ezekiel Elliott.
Hold on a second.
how are you going to tell me to just make the pick and keep moving, and then you make a pick and give a whole spiel about why you made the pick and why you didn't pick somebody else? And the next
person. No, you said, no. The reason why you said it, you said, well, Ty's going to probably pick Ty. You said, Ty's going to probably pick Ty Gurley. Don't pick for me. Let me say it. Like, you were trying to mention everybody back out there. Ty Gurley, everybody else. I'm like, don't mention the one that I'm going to name. So it's like, okay, thank you, Benny, for saying it. Just pick your pick and keep it moving. I gave you the analysis of why I picked it.
So, listeners, you can picture now, listeners, the Blazer and Ty has actually just flown from Connecticut and landing on the West Coast because TP has just thrown it straight at Vinny.
Like, he's loosened up the tie, man.
He's loosened them right up the tie. The tie is off. No, that's fantastic. And just like, you know, I don't think any of us are wrong, really. It's just a bit of fun. And any listeners listening, get in with your thoughts and you know, let us know. Leave messages after. Tell us what you think. What would you do? How would you go about it? Because we want to know, you know. It's interesting for us to get at every thought process, every reasoning and things for us to get better at what we do. So we're loving it. And Ty, your first receiver, bro. I want to know, if Calvin was still playing, I know it would be. But perhaps you take Calvin now. I don't know. Maybe you would.
No. And this is tough for me to say on air, but I'm going to say it. Calvin don't have heart, man. Calvin don't have heart. He tried to blame the organization. That's ridiculous. They did everything that they could, including trying to give you $138 million. I mean, meeting him was one other thing, but he's a humble diva at that. Like knowing that how humble he was and didn't speak, but with him coming out and speaking like crazy after he retired, there was no need for him to try and throw Detroit under the bus after you were gone. And knowing Stafford was doing everything that he could to force feed you the ball, including having a 300-yard receiving day. There was only one other receiver within the past 5 years that had a 300-yard receiving day, and that was Julio Jones. Other than that, it was Clipper Anderson back in the 80s. You know, like, so I feel a whole different spectrum on Calvin Johnson. Now, receiver, this is an absolute tough one for me, but if I had to pick to start an organization around them, you got it, Vinny Cividio. I'm going with Odell Beckham. I'm not going to force feed him. I'm going to let him do his thing and watch him go crazy with a quarterback that can watch him be electric. It's bad that he fell in the lap of Eli, and he's been as productive as he could be with Eli Manning. And this hasn't just started this season with Eli not trying to attack defenses downfield. This has been Eli's mantra for a while. Like, you will see Giant games, Eli will attack downfield like twice a game, twice at best. Now, it's not happening at all. Like picture if he had a quarterback that would attack downfield, and if Odell had a step or two on these guys, you could at least do that twice a quarter and watch Odell at least win one of them, and that's a touchdown. Like, I'm going with Odell. Even though I love Antonio Brown, you know what I'm saying? And that was a toss-up between that, but, you know, Ben has been a monster getting him the ball too. But I'm going with Odell, especially with the hand that he was dealt and still being able to make a difference.
I like that you mentioned Antonio Brown, because I would have said, you know, why didn't you take Antonio Brown? I just wanted to, had you not thought of it, but very similar receivers. Yeah, I'm not shocked with that time. I'm not sure. Perhaps I just got Odell sort of put in this pigeonhole at the moment just because of what he's coming out with more than anything and just the way he's acting. I don't know. Maybe perhaps it's just me. I'm stuck in the middle on this one, but I'm going to be quick. Julio Jones for me, still the cream of the crop in this league. Not sure why he's not catching touchdowns, just, you know, just devastating outside of the end zone. No, but we'll see how that goes forward. Vin, any thoughts on the receiver, bro?
Jerry Rice.
Yeah. I
say that facetiously, but I want to talk about him a little bit. He's right around the corner from here. He's the best that ever did it. Best that ever did it. Wasn't the biggest. Maybe wasn't the fastest. But was the hardest worker and the best that ever did it. I appreciated watching him. And the closest to Jerry Rice is Antonio Brown right now. The only real one of the biggest differences, Antonio Brown is very flashy, and he'll talk about he'll cry and
and make a big stink about not getting the ball and that kind of thing. That was never Jerry Rice's thing. But, hey, I like my team. Mahomes, Antonio Brown, and Kamara. Let's go. Who wants them?
That's pretty dangerous, bro. I'm not going to lie. But, like, you know, you talk about Jerry Rice. I remember I spoke to him once. We was talking. His father, like, he is well known that his father was a bricklayer. My dad was a bricklayer. Just, I think he was, he knew hard work before he played football. You know, he knew what it would take. And coming out of Mississippi Valley State was just a daunting task. Bill Walsh saw something he loved and got fitted him in our West Coast system. And they did change offensive football in the NFL. It was just, he could do, you know, his 40 time wasn't fast, but on the field, there was nobody faster. And you can look at tape for that. You can look at game tape to see how great he actually was. For me, Vin, the guy just behind him, Chris Carter. I know, like, Chris Carter for me was outstanding back in the day. Randy, Ty, I know you love Randy Moss. Who would you say, Ty? Just behind? Unless, you know.
As a wide receiver all time, I got, you already know it's Randy. Like, over Calvin by far, over Jerry, over whoever you want to mention. Like just think about this, right? Randy Moss came into the league, broke a record, and you can't really just give it all to Chris Carter because Chris Carter did what he did while he was there, but 2 years later they got rid of Chris Carter. Like, they were content with Randy Moss running the show there. Randy Moss was so good that he made Randall Cunningham relevant in 1998. That next year, Dallas Cowboys signed Randall Cunningham immediately, and he was trash. And nobody really wanted him except the Baltimore Ravens. And all he did was hold the clipboard. Randy Moss turned around a lot of people's career, including Gus Frerotte, Redmond, just into Dante Culpepper. When Dante Culpepper left Minnesota, he was a clipboard holder. Like, triple and quadruple coverage could not stop Randy Moss. Like, that's crazy that you would put four men. If there's 11 people on the field on your side of the ball. You would put four men on the receiver, and he still came down with the ball. And it didn't have to be a jump ball. He can outrun them. Like if it was a jump ball, you knew it was coming down with it. Like, Calvin would beat quadruple coverage if it was a jump ball. That's it. That was
remember
it.
When Randy played for the Patriots?
I wasn't done. I was still speaking. I'm at the Minnesota part. like I didn't even get to.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to Tom Brady yet. Listen, when he went to New England, he only had 2 weeks of not even really like preseason, but training camp before they started to run the show in preseason, and they broke an NFL record again. Like they broke it on the same pass play. Brady got 50 touchdowns thrown, and Moss had 23 touchdowns. Come on, and they didn't have time to gel. Picture if they went into that season with time to gel, like, and they ran the table. They won 18 straight, lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. Picture, and it would have been fitting that he scored the game winner because Brady couldn't get a pass off to get Moss the ball in that Super Bowl at all. And that drive that they scored the touchdown before Eli had the most memorable drive in probably Super Bowl history, Moss wasn't even coming to the huddle. He was just standing outside the huddle just waiting for Brady to say break and would just take two steps and catch the ball. They got first down after first down. He just force feed and Moss the ball. They scored the touchdown before the Giants got the ball back and scored that touchdown. Like, I've never seen somebody play football and be unstoppable like that. That, like, literally, even with Tuck and OC and Strahan rushing the ball, he just gave Moss an opportunity against Webster and those boys, and he did it again. So, like, I'm going with Randy, by far.
And two receivers for me, right, who actually won Super Bowls but didn't win Super Bowls, it's like Randy Moss and Larry Fitzgerald both took a ball, run in for a touchdown or receive the touchdown in the end zone and won the Super Bowl on the points board, on the scoreboard. And then you had, you know, Ben Roethlisberger against Arizona, won a Super Bowl. Eli Manning against the Patriots, won a Super Bowl. So those two for me also, and I think we got to add Larry Fitzgerald up there now. You know, he's coming to the end, even though he's not in the regular season. For me, Larry Fitzgerald, definitely up there. I tell you, we're coming to the end of the hour. Or are we going? Is there more?
It's up to you. If you want to close up, I mean, we're right where we need to be. I mean, we could do close out if you want to.
I think we close up for today. Let's open the kitchen fresh tomorrow. So many talking points. I don't want to interrupt on tomorrow's show too much either. So, you know, I'd rather if we'd done that today, a nice quick hour just to get some thoughts, get our personalities and thoughts out there a bit. And Really love the show today, guys. Good morning to you out there. I know it's still early. College game day, you know, is starting over here in Washington today, Washington State. So we're about to get into that today and look at some college. Another great show for the chefs. I'm always privileged and feel privileged to be at the helm anytime I possibly can. And it's just great to be here. We know we're building something great. Yeah, I can feel it. With that said, guys, I'll get you away, get you into your college game days and your Saturdays out there. Can't believe it's getting on to the end of October already. Seems like the season is flying along. But if any of you on the West Coast, bro, I'll catch you later. Any closes, plugs, shout outs, Ty, you the same. I know we got tomorrow coming up, but I just want to go to you before I get us out here. To you first, Vin, out there on the West Coast.
I want to give a shout out to you guys because I think you're awesome and I love talking about sports with you. I also want to, are we going to do a parlay for today and tomorrow?
Yeah, we certainly could. If you want to message me your picks, I'll give you time to think about it. If you want to message me two each, I'll give you my two, and then we can sort of go out outside the kitchen. Possibly mention it on tomorrow's show then, rather than rush it right now. I think it's best.
Well, why don't we just do it right now?
I'm down for that. I'm definitely down for that. If you know what
you
want to pick.
I say we do two college and two pro or three pro.
Okay, give me what you want to do, bro. I'll get him in.
What do you think for a college pick, Ty?
Well, some of these games are starting already, so the 12 o'clock is going to be out of the way. So I got to get past all of the 12s. Damn.
Remember, you don't want to put dogs.
You break it up. I couldn't hear you. Say it again.
You don't want to go dogs in rivalry matchups.
I don't tell you how to pick. Wait, what is this? Vinny, what's happening to you? Jeez.
I'm just trying to help.
This is that part of the movie when you know, they turn into their brothers, and then next thing you know, he turns into the bad guy. And it's like, what's happening to you, Vinny? You were just so cool. All of a sudden, and he's like, yeah, I just got taken by the dark side. Yeah, I'm going to take over. Like, relax. I don't worry about it. I got it. Don't worry about it.
No, I know.
Okay.
Do you know what I feel like right now? Have you seen Step Brothers? I feel like Dobak. Dobak.
Yeah, Step Brothers. Yeah. Hilarious.
He's got like the two Step Brothers. No, I'm just kidding. Wow.
Okay,
I'm looking at the game lines. Okay, go guys. Sorry.
The first one, I'm gonna go off the charts with this one, even though I feel real bad doing this. Nebraska at home, they get their first win of the season up against Minnesota. They are favored by 5 up against Minnesota. I think they get their first win. If they start the season out 0-7, they have to put Scott Frost on the hot seat. And I'm going to go against what Vinny is throwing out there. I'm going with Cal to win in Corvallis, Oregon, up against Oregon State. They're favored by 7.
So Nebraska and Cal.
Yeah.
I just get the.
I don't like either one of those, Ty. I'm not gonna lie to you. You're picking a winless team and a road dog.
Hey, you know, this is TP Tigress you're talking to here, man. It's not. That blazer and tie is just landed in the garden.
What city? I want y'all to remember this. If they go down, you will hear me tomorrow morning on that brunch. Believe me, you will hear me tomorrow morning on that brunch.
All right. So you're taking Oregon. You like Oregon on the road?
No, I don't. No, you're not even listening. You're not listening. I don't like Oregon. Are you listening to me? Roger, did you hear my pick?
Yeah, California, right? California over Oregon State.
There you go. What state are you in, Vinny?
California.
Okay, there you go. There goes your answer, okay? Say it again. What state are you in?
California.
Okay.
All right. So you're taking California at home. We're taking because we're doing it together.
They're not at home.
Yeah,
exactly. They're not at home. They're in Oregon.
Go on, Vin. You got any college or do you want to just do pro? I'm thinking.
I would really. Okay, so I'd like the Michigan State, but that already went off. So I will take.
I can still get you Michigan State. I can still get it, but that's like two and a half to one.
I would take Michigan. No, that game started. I don't think you're
going to
be able to get it in.
Well, I can get it in. I can get it in if you want. I can have inline competency, so it's no problem.
I think Michigan State does not lose by 7.5 for one in college. And so if you want to do the Michigan State and then the two tie picks, which the Nebraska can we do Michigan State instead of the Nebraska one? Tie?
If you want.
Why does my pick have to get pushed? What? I don't want to see you. Why are you doing this to me?
They haven't won a game all year. Why would you bet on a team?
They have to start somewhere. Hold on. They have to start somewhere, and it's Minnesota going to Nebraska. Hold on. Can I finish talking? Like, I don't cut you off. I let you speak. And it's Minnesota on the road, and they haven't won a game in the Big Ten either. Yeah, and I got to explain myself. I don't tell you to explain your pick. What is this? What happened?
All right, I don't know.
We got four games in college, right, guys? I'm going to pick Oklahoma and keep it simple. And they have 3-1 on, so they should win.
Okay, so that's what we do. Listen, keep one slot college, and then we'll do, I guess, one NFL. Then we do 1-1. You see what I'm saying?
So what do you want to do? So we do... So, like, one each for college and one each for NFL.
Okay, so we'll do one each. Okay, so do you want to do a three-way parlay, college, and then three-way NFL?
I was going to add them all. I was going to do, like, a 16 parlay.
Oh, well, then do it. That's fine. Then do it that way. Okay, then do it that way. Fine. We can do it that way. Okay.
So we got Nebraska, California, Michigan State within 7.5, right? I haven't got to pick Oklahoma if we want to do three NFL teams.
No, just give me Nebraska. Just do the Nebraska game. I'll do the Nebraska game.
You don't want to pick
your Oklahoma. If you got Oklahoma, then take Oklahoma, and Vinny took Michigan State.
You know what, Rodri, take Michigan State with the money line. That'll make the payout a lot better. They can win that on the field.
You sure? Against Jim Harbaugh? Against Jim Harbaugh and Michigan? Okay.
Yeah, of course, it's not sure. It's a bet, but it's very likely that they could win at home in a rivalry game like that.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. So take them to win on the field, and then let's pick. Couple of NFL games here.
Do a couple of NFL games.
And I'll Venmo you. We can figure that out later. Actually, I will. The one I like the most in the NFL for this week. I like the Colts laying a touchdown against the Bills.
So you like the Colts outright, or what was it?
I like the Colts outright, but I like them to cover the spread as well.
Okay. I'll do them to cover the spread then. So we have, they're 7 points at home.
Yep. I think they'll cover that. I think the Bills are garbage.
Wow. Big bets, man. Big bets, bro. Play. Loving your confidence. Really loosened up that tie.
Yeah, it was, well, I mean, it's fun. This is fun. So we got Nebraska, Michigan State on the field. You speak Oklahoma, Raj?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick the Eagles at home as well, over Carolina.
That's a good one.
So we just need your NFL pick, Ty. When you're ready, bro. I like to put the bet on right now.
Go marching in. Oh, when the Saints go marching in. Oh, when I want to be in that number here. Oh, when the Saints go marching in. And here goes the crazy part about this. Here goes the crazy part about that. Drew Brees has beaten every single team in the NFL except the Baltimore Ravens. This is the only team he has not beaten. They are favored by 2.5. I think this is going to be a gun show. It's going to be a shootout. And hopefully Brees is on top with the 2.5.
Take the money line then, because you get plus money.
Yeah, I just took the money line.
Oh, yeah, good.
I just took the money line. So it's like, they're 3-point underdogs, which I just had to check twice.
Yeah.
It's a good shot. Yeah, good.
Hang on,
let me just give you the updates. So we've got, hold on. I'm going to put $10 on, right. Well, big comeback on the schedule we win. Just like the bet is processing, the bet has been placed. Okay, we go Michigan State. 13-5 to win outright. Nebraska to win outright. Indianapolis Colts to win by 7 points. Philly Eagles to win outright. Saints to win outright. And Nebraska to win outright.
You said Oklahoma too, right?
Yeah, Oklahoma too, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like $500, guys, if it wins. So cross your fingers.
All right.
Yeah, Michigan State. Ben, if Michigan State beats Michigan today, right, bro? I would be so happy. You'd be like.
Yeah, we'll all be happy. And if Oklahoma wins, and if Nebraska wins, and if the Eagles win,
exactly.
And the Colts cover,
That's the fun part.
We'll have something to talk about tomorrow morning. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's what we want. If we can get a college games one. To go into the NFL with 3 games to win that would just be, and to make it more interesting as well. You know, fans get like listeners. I say fans, that's a bit like for me to say I got fans. You know, guys can't be saying things like that, Rodri. No, you can't. Even though it's true that we all have fans, obviously as chefs, but listeners, people listening into our show, get in touch with us. Let us know what you think. We want your feedback. We're desperate for your feedback. In fact. This is what it's all about for us. We want to get you involved with things like this. Obviously, I'm not going to put money on for you guys. I want to get your bets and put money on for you. No, I'm not going to do that. But I want to know your favorites. If you see any shocks on the weekend, the over-unders, see any shocks you think. If you want to look at genius on air, phone in. Let us know. I'll make you look a genius if you are a genius. So that's your guarantee from me if I'm hosting. I mean, TP wouldn't do that. TP and Vinny. If you phone in when they are hosting and ask them to make you look a genius, they'd rather dog you. They would. They'd just dog you.
I think that this is exciting. It'll definitely make the Saturday a lot more interesting. And tomorrow when we do our show, we'll put together a fantasy lineup, and we'll see if we can put together $1 million lineup and win some serious coin that way. It'll be a $10 entry fee. We pick players like I mean I told you guys about it last week. I don't know. I'm sure you remember. And
yeah,
we'll pick the guys together and we'll make a lineup together and we will cheer on our players tomorrow and hopefully we can put together a winner. I'm liking this, Ty and Rodri,
for future shows to kind of put together little
yeah.
wagers like this.
I definitely think we've started something here. I'm not sure if it's legal. That's the only thing. But we cross that bridge when we come to it, right?
Wait, is it not legal to talk about betting?
Well, I'm sure it's legal to talk about betting. I don't know how the laws work in the US at the moment. I know there's a few laws in a few states that would probably frown on what we're doing. I don't know how laws have changed. I know it was bad at one point. But and Vin, you've got to watch if we do win $1 million, it'll just be me and you doing the show from next week on, you know, I don't know. Because TP will be in Barbados or something with his feet up.
He'll loosen up the tie.
They really sound me short, like I'm the one that would run. I know it'd be them two, especially Roger. Roger's not even in the United States, but he's saying I'm the one that'll be in Barbados. Think about that.
I know, yeah, I know. You're right.
That's bad.
Guys, I love you. I got to get ready to go to work. It was a great show. We'll talk more tomorrow morning, all right?
Okay, Ben, have a good day, bro.
Goodbye, guys. Bye, Ty.
Bye. Goodbye, Ben.
All right, Mr. Negative.
TP, do you want to do your close-ups, brother? Another good show with you, my man.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs. The chefs will be back here tomorrow, same time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with the brunch. And the same brothers back here, we have a new show. Well, not a new show, but an old show that'll be back in the repertoire or in the schedule within this week, The Cafe. On that note, I'm saving it for Roger. Roger, give your close off.
Thank you, my brother. Hey, and it's a pleasure to be able to do this. Let me just tell you that after the time we spent, you know, if I'm not in coming over, just being a part in so many ways and coming back and doing this is a dream come true. Yeah, definitely. Listen out for more news regarding new shows, new people coming on and everything. We got some guests coming line up and just getting our feet settled here first and then, you know, ready to take it on to the next round. Be the pleasure, people. Tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.